Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome on into Sports Talk, our Friday, May 2nd edition. Going to be going till 6 p.m. this evening. We got LSU baseball that's been postponed, though, gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Charlie had it in the Sports Flash. Is now an 8 o'clock first pitch, 7:30 pregame coverage due to tumultuous weather, I should say, in College Station as the second-ranked Tigers get ready to take on Texas A&M. And the Aggies, man, they were the runner-ups in the College World Series a year ago, and they just haven't been having a great season. Kind of turned things around a little bit, but then last weekend, a rough sweep for them at Tennessee. Texas. Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, can I be honest with you? I don't think the college baseball season really starts until the NFL draft ends. At least, like, in my mind. Like, yes, they're playing games. I get it, they're playing games. But this is when, like, the rubber really meets the road.
You're
for
ready,
me.
Waiting to get down to the nitty gritty here.
Well, it's kind of like how the Pelican season doesn't start until the Saints season ends, right? The problem is the Pelican season was over this year before the Saints season ended, is technically, like, because they had no. Anyway.
Yeah.
To me, this is when college baseball really starts to get fun. And the problem is, this is also when the thunderstorms really start to have a great time in the afternoons down in South Louisiana. So
I did see also Tennessee is experiencing a weather delay over there. So like you said, it's just the mood around the South right now is thunderstorms are in the air. Luckily, not looking like Jazz Fest will be affected, though, today for all of you you Fest goers out there. Definitely wish I was in that number, hoping to get out there at some point this weekend. Because I still got that garlic ribeye po' boy on my mind.
Yeah, I think Sunday's my day.
That's Lenny day, right? Lenny Kravitz?
Yes. We'll see how difficult that is to navigate. But that's my goal. That's my target. Last week was obviously a non-starter for us.
That's why when the Jazz Fest lineup comes out every year, I'm always like hoping and praying. I'm like, please don't be anybody really good that I want to see that first weekend, right?
Yeah.
Because I'll get really mad because there's no way it's happening. Just no ifs, ands, or buts on it.
Nope.
Did you get to watch any of the NBA playoff action last night?
You know, I didn't get to catch any of last night's, but I've been keeping an eye on it. It was pretty clear. You know, that Lakers series was interesting. Obviously, it wasn't last night, but like, I felt like the Lakers had a good chance in that series. And then I watched Game
One. Sure. Yeah.
And then I was like, the Lakers aren't winning this series. Because, you know, you look at that team, and there's a lot of teams I think the Lakers could have beaten in the playoffs. But a team with Rudy Gobert on it is not the team I want to face if I'm a team without a center, right? And Naz Reid, right? Like, that was just the worst possible matchup. Oh, and they have Anthony Edwards, who can actually, like, match up with LeBron in some form or fashion. Plus Luka, I don't know. Like, I get it. The Mavs fans are really mad that they traded him away. And I don't think they're going to benefit from that trade. Like, I understand, like, they're not better for that trade, but I don't like the way Luka is trending in the NBA. Like, every year you look at that guy, it seems like he's age 4. Like, I don't know how much longer he's going to have in a career where he's actually able to excel at an NBA level. He's getting out of shape. I've never seen an NBA player get more out of shape the longer they spend in the NBA. It is strange. Because you go back, you look at some of the highlights of his rookie season. Looks like a different dude. And I don't know if it's just something about, you know, processed foods and American, you know, fast food restaurants. I don't know. But I don't look at that guy and say, well, the Lakers are in good hands for the next 10 years. Just based on, like, he's going to wear down. Like, we talk about Zion. Why don't we, and Luka does get talked about in that way, but I see the similar issues with him that Zion has had in his career. The difference is Zion plays a lot higher off the ground, so his body breaks down on him. But I don't know. Like, Lakers fans, they're going to have a good time. I think LeBron's going to be out of there this offseason. I'd be kind of surprised if he goes back. And you'll see that team become Luka's team. I don't know. I think the ceiling there is just the same as it was with the Mavs.
You think LeBron will really try his take his talents again somewhere else?
I think he's going to go to Dallas. I think that would be hilarious if he went down to Dallas and reunited with Kyrie and AD.
I wonder how Mavs fans would feel about all that then.
I think that if Nico Harrison pulled that off, I think the Mavs would have fans again. Because he's got to do something. They're ready to throw him overboard. I've never seen anything like that. Like, Saints fans might be fed up with Mickey Loomis. I mean... That's a whole other animal right there. That would be like if the Saints decided to trade Drew Brees in like 2018. Like, we got better options. Defense wins championships. I don't know. But no, I mean, obviously they got eliminated. Jalen Brunson, you know, my other take about the NBA playoffs is that the Knicks, if you remember those Isaiah Thomas Celtics teams, little tiny guy. He was scoring like 35 points a game.
Not the Pistons, Isaiah Thomas.
Not the Pistons, Isaiah Thomas. The new Isaiah Thomas, who was actually named Isaiah Thomas because his father lost a bet that the Pistons were not going to win the championship one year. And the bet was, if they do, you have to name your son Isaiah Thomas, which is actually kind of hilarious.
Right.
But it's spelled differently. Either way, he was this little tiny guy. He's like 5'9". He was incredible to watch. He was so exciting. Every time he stepped on the floor, you were like, this is great. I remember a seven-game series against the Wizards that was like just peak drama, perfect. But like that team, I watched it, and I knew every time I watched it, like the ceiling for this team is the Eastern Conference Finals. They are never getting to the finals. They are never winning a championship as long as you are relying on a 5'9 scoring point guard to lead your team. And so why do I bring that up? The Knicks are the exact same team. The Knicks' ceiling is the Eastern Conference Finals. They are not winning a championship. As much as I love Jalen Brunson, he's so much fun to watch. Sure. He's a great scorer. He is a liability on defense. They do not have the type of team that can win a championship. And it's just funny to watch because, like, that series was great. That game winner he hit last night was fantastic. The Pistons were fun to watch. The Knicks were better. Just like the like 5, 6, 7 seeds against those Celtics teams, they lost. But they ran into LeBron James every year, and they're like, this ain't happening.
Is it because the Knicks are playing Boston next? You got a little bit of Celtics bias going on?
Maybe a little. But also, like, there's no way they're beating the Celtics. They might take him to 5 games. It'll be fun. Those games will be good.
Right.
The Celtics are going to win 4 out of 6. It might go 6. I'll give you 6. They're not winning that series because that's just not the build of a team that wins championships.
Then the other, you know, Eastern Conference matchup, we got the Cavs and Pacers, that's set. But the two matchups in the West, still a question. We know the Thunder have advanced and the T-Wolves are moving on. Tonight we'll find out maybe a little bit more with the Rockets at the Warriors, and then we still got Nuggets-Clippers series. Man, oh man, really surprising that this Clippers team was able to at least fight back and tie this series up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but when you look at the players on that team, you're
sure,
like,
all right.
You know, Kawhi Leonard is like one of the most enigmatic superstars over the last two decades, because it's like this guy's won championships. He's elite in every sense of the word, but then like he'll just be gone for entire seasons. Like, all right, I guess he's not a factor this year.
Oh, yeah, he's still around.
But when he's healthy, he's one of the top 5 players in the NBA. I will tell you, the team that is built to win championship right now is the Thunder. Like, that team is absurd when you watch them. Like, they just come at you in waves. They're very similar to the Celtics in that, you know, they can defend all 5 positions. They have length at every position, and they shoot. And they shoot, and they shoot, and they shoot. But they can score at the rim, too. Like, they can win in multiple ways. And they're about, I don't know, 27 years younger than the Celtics.
Right.
I feel like everyone on that team is, like, 24 years old or under. They kind of remind me of what the Celtics were 5 years ago when you were trying to find your way with Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. But, no, there's some really good teams. I don't think the Rockets, is that series still going on?
Yeah.
Rockets-Warriors, what is it, 3-2?
That is, yeah, 3-2 Golden State right now, and that next game will be
tonight, I think.
That's tonight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Rockets are, you know, the Rockets and Pistons are very similar in that, like, the NBA is unique to me in the sense that you can see teams that are capable of winning, just haven't learned how to win in the playoffs yet. Like, the Cavs, I think, are there right now. It's like, that team's good enough to win, but until they win a meaningful playoff series, I won't believe they can.
Sure.
And I think the Rockets right now are just like, they're playing a Warriors team that is a professional series winner in the playoffs, and they just don't know how to do it. So I think the Warriors are going to finish off that series. It's just funny because it's, 7-2? A 7-2 series, but the Warriors were probably the betting favorite. Because just how do you bet against the Warriors? Just like the Chiefs.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen, obviously, Steph's been carrying that Warrior squad, but that's nothing new.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Looking at a reminder for everybody, LSU baseball tonight will not be a 6 o'clock first pitch. That has been pushed back till 8 p.m. After the break, we're going to talk a little bit about some NFL.com post-draft power rankings. The Saints, not very high on our buddy Eric Edholm's list.
What, 8th? 6th? 5th?
Something around that.
On the wrong side of this.
We'll get into that in a little bit more about post-draft thoughts right here on WWL after the break. You can sound off with us this fabulous Friday if you're not hanging out at Jazz Fest. Chime in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870. Taking a break and be back with more on Sports Talk on WWL after this.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. LSU baseball, a delayed start this evening, folks. It's no longer a 6 o'clock first pitch. It has now been postponed to an 8 o'clock first pitch tonight, a 7:30 pregame coverage on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're going to have all three games of that series against Texas A&M. Game 2 tomorrow, still a 2 o'clock start, pregame 1:30, and then game 3 on Sunday, pregame of 12:30 with a 1 o'clock first pitch. All that LSU baseball action right here on WWL and, of course, streaming on the free Odyssey app. Mentioned we wanted to talk about some post-draft power rankings that came out on NFL.com. Eric Edholm, a guy we talked to quite a bit here on WWL, put out his list. And unfortunately, Houdat Nation, he has the Saints in his power rankings number 31 out of 32 teams post-draft.
Yeah. Well, did you expect them to do well is my first question.
Well, I didn't expect the team to take a dip down. It says down three spots after this draft. And I don't know. It doesn't feel like that it warranted that. I don't think there was that much around when you look at the other teams that he has here that the Saints fell that much. That's a pretty steep descent, considering you just put 9 new players on your roster, including a second-round quarterback.
Yeah, but they didn't put any flashy players on the roster, right? Like, they didn't draft Travis Hunter, right? They didn't draft Ashton Jeanty.
I love me some O-linemen.
And if you notice, you know, there's a few teams that up there a little higher than the Saints and the Jaguars and the and the Raiders.
The Giants are up
that
a spot.
Are teams that, like, I don't expect to be good. But they're apparently better than the Saints, and it's like, why? Okay, well, they drafted Ashton Jeanty, so suddenly the Raiders, despite really, I guess they have a quarterback, they have Geno Smith, but like, sure, we'll see. Yeah, jury's still out on that.
Now that you mention it, Jeff, I look here, Cleveland jumped up a spot, the Jaguars jumped up a spot, and so did the New York Giants, so that pushed the Saints down three spots.
Right, and it's because, ooh, the Giants had a sexy draft with Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart. The Jaguars had a sexy draft because they traded up for the big
time. I think your G-Man had a good draft.
I do, too. I still think they're going to be bad.
Right.
But, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I guess it's all about your methodology of, like, where do you think the Saints are going to be around the NFL? Like, the one I take question on is, like, why is everyone so high on the Falcons? And I say that with them at 21. Like, I don't think the Falcons... Like, what about the Falcons are people sold on that I just don't know?
That Penix is the future.
I mean...
Well, yeah, we haven't really seen it.
Well, he's just an old guy who's been injured a lot. I'm like, what are we...
an older prospect, right?
Why are we so excited about that? I don't know. And they I guess they finally got the pass rushers. I guess until they have a winning record, I'm just going to believe they will never have another winning record until the end of time. Like, I think until a team actually proves they can have a winning record, they should stop getting the benefit of the doubt that they're not going to be a sub-500 football team. They have not had a winning record since 2017.
You know,
a lot has changed since 2017.
Going through the whole list, though, too, Jeff, I'm seeing that the Saints had the biggest decline at -3. There were some teams that dropped two spots, one spot, but the Saints are the only one that he dropped down three ticks there.
It's really all about, like, okay, do you like the quarterback? Do you not like the quarterback? And if you like the quarterback, then you're like, yeah, they had a decent draft. If you don't like the quarterback, then you're like, they reached, you know? And I don't know. I like love the quarterback.
There's been definitely, I feel like, two takes on the Saints drafting Tyler Shuck. One is, oh, my God, he's injured all the time, and he's
and
an old man.
47 years old.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
The other twist on that is this Tyler Shuck's coming into the perfect situation with the Saints because he does have more experience in college and may be more NFL ready because he's a more seasoned guy coming into this situation, which I am hoping to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think most people who talk a lot about Tyler Shuck have not watched him play at this point. Like, that's, and I'm not saying there's no one's watched him play. I'm just saying, like, I hear from a lot of people who have nothing to say other than he's older and he's been injured. And if you've watched him play, those are not the points you would come away with. So I don't know. Like, we'll see. I fully expect people to go out there and watch him operate an NFL offense and be like, whoa, you know, that's what it looks like when someone shows up with the exact traits you want to play quarterback in the NFL. Oh, okay, cool. And then we'll go from there. But, you know, the one that the Bucks, every year around this time, everyone's obsessed with the Bucks. And it's like, what did they do last year that got you like that excited? Obviously, they had the injuries.
Well,
Chris Godwin
won the division
went down
again.
Yeah, but again, like, can they win the division by winning more than 10 games one time? I don't know. but either way, it is what it is. Like, I watched a team that, again, needed to win the division to close out like a division title, or needed to win their final game to close out a division title, and barely got it done. They were down 10 points at halftime to the Saints, the 31st worst team in the NFL. Apparently, according to Eric. But they're ranked seventh in these. So they're a Super Bowl team. Anyway.
Well, you know what, Jeff? We're going to get into the data behind this NFL draft.
I guess we could.
Get a little take from our data scientist at Sumer Sports. Quinn McLaren will join us after the break. We'll break down what the Black and Gold picked up with their 9 selections. Also look at the NFC South and some of the other teams' drafts that we just went through. Just can't believe it's, you know, we're a week away from the draft and still putting a bow on things. We'll talk to Quinn McLean right here on WWL after the break. Stay tuned. We'll get to your calls, too, on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Be back right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been talking a little bit about the NFL draft to kick off the show and helping us break down the data side of things. Quinn McLean, data scientist at Sumer Sports, joining us now. Quinn, thanks so much for the time on this Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk the draft with y'all.
Going through what the Saints did first off the bat, we were kind of surprised they ended up sticking with all 9 selection. And just curious, from at least the, you know, the data analysis side of things, how did you feel the Saints fared out in this year's draft?
Yeah, it's a little bit different strategy than what we've seen from the Saints in previous drafts. I looked at the stat the other day from, in terms of their relative athletic score from MathBomb, it kind of like aggregates people's testing profile. They've never drafted a guy lower than 7.5 RAS. That may not mean a lot, but that's like a high premium athletics score. In this year's draft, they drafted 3 guys that were below that, which is kind of the first since in a while. And I think they did that with a very intense focus to address the run defense. We saw Saints defense last year was bottom third in the league in terms of EPA per play, rush allowed, and they got some guys that specialize in run defense to shore that up, hopefully.
So that would be Vernon, Broughton, Stutzman, and Riley? Who would those players be?
Broughton is really a run defender. He needs to work on a little bit in terms of his power moves and pass rush. Stanker from Virginia, he specializes more of a run defender, needs to work a little bit more on coverage. Stutzman, you touched on, is a tackling machine. Quincy Riley is a really good nickel corner that could specialize in run defense as well. And then, you know, Fadil Diggs, I think, is one of the sleeper picks for them. He's kind of a really good, productive motor guy that I think could add a lot of value for them.
When you look at the big selection in this draft, everyone's been talking about not the top overall pick for the Saints so much, but it's been, of course, the quarterback taken in the second round, Tyler Shuck. What's been your read on the newest QB in the Saints room over there?
Yeah, so I've actually been watching Tyler Shuck since 2019. I live in Oregon. I'm a big Oregon fan.
Okay.
Went there as an alum. So I think Tyler Shuck does really well in terms of the system. And Jeff Brohm, as you know, Aiden O'Connell has been developed into the league. We saw him have some initial success with the Raiders in that system. The thing you have to kind of take into account with Tyler Shuck is he does have the athleticism. He does have the arm strength, the prototypical build. He's, in some senses, the data would suggest he checks down a lot, but he does have that medium long-range accuracy within the right system. The one thing you have to keep in account with Louisville is they do run play action at a high clip, second highest in this draft behind Jackson Dart. And that play action, in a lot of cases, disguises a lot of things for quarterbacks and makes it a little bit easier on them. And there was in the data, he struggled a bit in short yard accuracy. He's elite in terms of our metrics in medium yard accuracy, about 10 to 20 yard accuracy range. I think if Kellen Moore can kind of what we saw with Hurts and Herbert and Dak Prescott target those 10 to 20 yards, I think he'll be fine. But he does have a sensitive, and one thing I really specifically dug in on him is in situations where he was quick pressured, he didn't throw the ball at a high clip. So quick pressures is, you know, pressures within 2 seconds or less. He struggled in those areas in the data that I think he'll have to improve upon the next level.
You know, something we talk about a lot this time of year is value, right? Not necessarily, okay, you know, three years down the road, we look back and like, well, that was a bad quote-unquote value pick at the time, but I look at like an Alvin Kamara. You know, the Saints didn't get great value on that pick. They traded a second rounder in the future. They took a guy at the top of the third round who some people said might be available later, but then he turned into Alvin Kamara, so we don't talk about the value there. But, you know, there is always the question of, oh, well, is it worth taking the quarterback at number 40? Could you have waited till 71? Calvin Banks in the first round, they took him at 9. Some people think that was a bit of a reach. At the end of the day, it's probably more about, okay, the Saints have him here on their board. They're going to go get him. But where do you land on that, both as a concept and for the Saints specifically? Should teams be focusing more on that, on maximizing value, or you know, should they be, okay, we really like this guy, he's got the traits, we might take him a little higher than maybe the boards would say?
Yeah, I think like an interesting example in this draft is Ashton Jeanty, right? Like Ashton Jeanty is a great running back, but drafting him at the where you draft him, you're already locking him into a top three contract into the league. So that's a big bet as an organization to make, that you think he's already worth a top three contract in the league. And so typically, in areas where you have to shell out the most amount of money to people, offensive tackle, quarterback, wide receiver, edge rusher, those are where in early rounds is where you're going to, in my mind, spending a lot of your draft capital, because you're getting them at such a discount to what the market says they should be worth. And I think if you can, and we've seen this from the Eagles in a lot of ways, just draft edge rushers year in, year out, and you could fill in some of those spots and continue to develop them and get them at premium picks, and know that maybe one or two of them pan out, and then they are worth the contract when you go to pay them.
Talking to Quinn McClain from Sumer Sports, a data scientist over there. We touched on the Saints. I was just curious, thoughts around the NFC South, what the Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Atlanta did, because from the looks of things, at least, sadly for us Houdat fans over here, it looks like all three teams had pretty decent drafts.
Yeah, I would say starting with Atlanta, they definitely kind of doubled down on areas of needs for them. They needed more of the pass rusher help, so they went and got James Pierce and Walker. From our standpoint, the trade for getting up to James Pierce is a big risk.
Right.
It's the latest I've seen a future first round pick be given up to trade up into the first round. You're in the 20s and promising a future first round pick. So good on the trade to get that back for James Pierce, especially a guy that I think that there's been a lot of question marks around him in terms of the character ability off the field and what kind of surrounds him. The production there is for James Pierce. I think he's an elite pass rusher from that standpoint. I would have had him top 10 if there wasn't other concerns there. And he's been one of the first guys that I've seen that absolutely dominates at the combine and is still dropping post-draft. So that's telling you the things that you don't see on the field is kind of surrounding him. Jalen Walker's a little bit undersized for a pass rusher. I think he's a little bit of a tweener. He could play in the box, outside. I think there's some question marks on there. But the consistency in terms of passing the rusher hasn't always been there for him on the year. But I think there's a high upside with him in terms of rushing the passer. I think that's worthwhile. And there's the element that he played at Georgia. The Atlanta Falcons haven't drafted a person from Georgia in the first round in quite a while. The Panthers had a lot of good talent there. Our former vice president of research and development, Eric Eager, at Zoomer Sports, is within his first year at the Panthers. They went and got Tet McMillan to kind of be, I would have thought that if they didn't get Higgins, they would have gotten Tet McMillan this offseason, and they kind of proved me true. Nick Scourton and Princely Yu, I'm not going to pronounce his last name because it's difficult for me, but Nick Scourton going into the 2024 season was considered a top 15 pick. I think he just didn't really vibe well in terms of the Texas A&M system. And the Texas A&M pass rusher is going to be the great anomaly of this draft is you have a lot of talented guys that the production just didn't match up there. Shamar Stewart has the athletic profile, but when you look at the production there, it wasn't there. And I think you were taking a bet that similar to Shamar Stewart, that he has that athletic profile and what you got from Purdue is going to pan out well for them. So I like that pick from a value standpoint for the Panthers. Trevor Etienne, I think, is a little bit of a question mark on their draft. He's 5'8", and I've watched some film on him personally, and he doesn't always make the optimal decisions in terms of the holes that he cuts. But, you know, with Chuba Hubbard there as your kind of every down back, this might be a nice value pick for them. And then you go to the Buccaneers. I think a lot of people are lauding them in terms of the people they've drafted for this. I think the funny thing about the Bucs is they went and just drafted to existing strengths. They got, you know, some good, decent corners. They drafted Egbuka. Like, they didn't necessarily need wide – Egbuka and Tez Johnson, they didn't necessarily need wide receiver. But they want to solidify in the division that we're going to do two things well, and that's pass the ball and defend the pass. And I think that's what shows of their draft is an interesting strategy to just keep drafting towards your strengths.
Okay, well, one more here. One thing I really appreciate about Sumer Sports is they've taken like the Madden approach of the badges. I guess it's more of a 2K approach to the badges. And one I appreciate, I saw you tweeted about it here. Kelvin Banks, he's got the brick wall and the bulldozer badge.
All right,
which is like what I'd like to hear about my starting left tackle. I don't know. I'm just curious. What were your thoughts on the Kelvin Banks pick? I know some people react. Oh, he's a third offensive lineman off the board. You know, I think he may have been lower for some people than maybe at number 9. I think the Saints are getting a high floor player. But what are your thoughts on Kelvin?
Kelvin's one of my favorite offensive linemen in this draft. He's super athletic. Only 8 pressures allowed in 2024. Only 4 sacks allowed his entire career. I think the one transition for him is 79% of his snaps in his career were in a 2-point stance. And so I think they're going to be asking him to move inside to offensive guard. So you do expect a little bit of a transition for him. And also he saw a lot of light boxes, you know, people less than 6 guys in the box. I think you worry about like, is he going to be able to hold up against stunts or blitz situations since he didn't see a whole lot of that at Texas. Very athletic. In terms of we have an advanced metric called our, you know, pass rush get off. We have him an elite ability in terms of his first step off the block in terms of pass block ability. And I think that'll translate to the next level with Fuaga on that side. So I'm a big fan of him. And I think he's one of our top 20 in all of college football this past year in terms of his ability to run block as well. So a guy that's shown both good production in run blocking and pass blocking. And I think the one thing that shows his athleticism is, he's one of the top offensive linemen in terms of like the amount of screen blocks he has. So getting outside of the blocks to block people on the side and the boundary, I think shows his athleticism and range that I think will be nice in that Kellen Moore system.
Great info. You're sharing with us, Quinn. Tell us folks out there what they can find more on Sumer Sports by logging in.
Yeah, if you go to sumersports.com, there will be the draft guide where you can see kind of a detailed breakdown of all the different players from this past draft. We have articles, research articles. I wrote an article about how different running back schemes translate from college to pro, so you can see more in-depth research. We have our Sumer Brain, which is basically just a chatbot that you can ask any football question to, and it'll come back with a very detailed response. So we're putting out a lot of cool, unique products that people can go and interact with.
Quinn McLean, definitely appreciate the information. Like I said, data scientist over at Sumer Sports. Go check out their great work over there. Appreciate the time on this Friday, man. Hope you have a great one.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Quinn.
Quinn McLean, sumersports.com. Go check it out over there. Works with another guy we have on a lot, Sam Bruckhaus, former two-linebacker, and also former Falcon in Thomas Dimitroff, who we had on Radio Row during the Super Bowl week.
Yeah, and obviously Eric Eager used to be there. He's now with the Panthers.
Working in the NFL.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff going on there. No, and it is kind of fun. Like if you ever played 2K or Madden, they have the badges, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
You know, Showstopper and stuff, and they kind of associate that for all the players, and it's kind of fun to kind of go through it.
So you said now too, Brooks has the brick wall, and what else?
Banks has the brick wall and bulldozer badges.
Bulldozer and a brick wall. Like you said, that's what I want in my old lineman.
Sounds good. Yeah.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. You can chime on this fun Friday. Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line 504-260-1870. Be right back after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, bringing it until 6 p.m. this evening. Got a programming note that LSU baseball has been pushed back a little bit. Their matchup at College Station for Game 1 against Texas A&M. Now an 8 o'clock first pitch. Pre-game coverage will start right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. 7:30, dealing with a bit of rain and lightning over there. I knew it wasn't good earlier today, guys, when I log into weather.com and see College Station, and it's got the cloud with the lightning bolt and a red exclamation point next to it. And I was like, uh-oh, it doesn't look like we're going to be starting on time here. The Tigers, I think, Charlie, you mentioned it before the show. It seems like they only deal with this on Fridays, though.
I don't want to be pessimistic, but it looks bad in College Station, unfortunately, over at Blue Bell Park.
Oh, you're saying overall for tonight?
Yeah, as far as tonight goes. Like, it's been pushed back to 8 o'clock as of now, but so I wouldn't be surprised if we get an update. Because you remember last week, the Tennessee game goes to, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, right where Bear Jones hit that ball that's still, you know, out in orbit somewhere in outer space. But, yeah, no, it feels like it's on Friday nights that all this weather comes in. It's been pretty consistent.
Yeah, we'll see how that takes shape in College Station, and hopefully it doesn't affect the rest of the weekend for the Tigers at College Station taking on Texas A&M, a matchup that I definitely thought this Aggie team was going to be a lot better this season. I know they had their struggles early on, but they're still a very dangerous roster and pitching staff.
I think one of the biggest surprises to me with Texas A&M was that Ryan Prager was struggling early on, and he's who LSU's going to be playing tonight.
Sure.
You know, it's a battle of aces on the mound, lefty aces with Cade Anderson and Prager. Prager was nails, especially in the postseason last year for Texas A&M. He's a good pitcher, and he's an experienced pitcher, but for some reason, he was kind of getting off to a slow start in the SEC. I think he's maybe picked it up a little bit in recent weeks. The ERA is fine. Jay Johnson came on the show yesterday and talked about him, that he's going to be a tough customer in this opener, but so is Cade Anderson. So that's always the thing. Like, these Friday nights in SEC play, it's always ace versus ace, and LSU feels like they have an advantage over 90% of the teams in the SEC with Cade Anderson on the mound.
Yeah, it'll be another key matchup for this Tiger team. And you've heard Jay Johnson constantly describes these weekend games, guys, as basically a regional, which will be
super regional.
We'll be getting to soon enough, that's for sure. Playoff time getting closer. I think there's, what, two more SEC series after this weekend?
They have Texas A&M, they have Arkansas, and they have South Carolina.
And then boom.
And then we're going to Hoover. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
We're
going
to go to break, top of the hour news. When we get back, we'll be breaking down some of what Scott Shanley said on Sports Talk earlier this week about those Saints draft picks. Be right back with more of Sports Talk right after this.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.